Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Listen and grow as Del questions the status quo, encourages you to think differently, and empowers you to make a better life. Get ready as Del challenges core beliefs, seeks the truth, and reveals the roadmap to the lifestyle you really want. And now your host, multi-millionaire, national award-winning investor, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Today, my friends, we are going to hit the mailbag again. But before we do, I want to share with you one email that came to me that I'm going to use it as an introduction into really a thought process and an opportunity. And it starts something like this. I've been listening to your show for about 6 months. You said you can teach anyone how to retire at any age. Now, I don't think I actually said that, to be honest with you, just so you know. Said you could teach anyone to retire at any age. I guess circumstantially, you probably could in some way make that happen. The challenges for doing that are many, I guess. One of which is how much money you have. Second of which, how much you need to live on. Third of which is how old you are. And fourth of which is, will you do what I tell you to do? So I don't like it to be stated that blatantly that I didn't just come out and say I can take anybody in any set of circumstances and retire them. And if so, it would have to be over some period of time, because if you would change the way you act, and this is where I'm going with this, if you change the way you act and change the way you live your life, yes, anybody could turn their life around and retire at some point in a much quicker way than they would by working through the traditional type work, save money in a 401k, work 40 years and then retire type thing. But that's not really the point I wanted to make. I'm going to move on. It says, I'm in my 60s, still working, and I saved $10,000 this year. Now, I want you to understand that when we look at these things, when I look at things and I help people, I look at the real problem. And my question on this would be, how do you end up 60 years old and have $10,000? I'm not trying to be mean here. Don't get me wrong. This could be construed to be mean, but it is a question. And if saving $10,000 at 60 years of age is all he has, what do you do with all the other money? Because he said, I'm 60 working and I've saved $10,000 this year. So where's the rest of his money? What has he done for the last 59 years? And you see, so this is not that easy of a question, right? Now you got to figure out, what is the real problem there? He goes on and says, I probably can save another same amount next year, the following year. Interesting. So what has it been doing for 59 years? And my question to you guys, do you just wake up at 60 years of age and go, I probably should start thinking about this stuff? Now, I retired at 34 years of age, 2.5 years after I started investing. But I was thinking about the pain of going to work every day. Now, I work 12 hours a day, five, sometimes 6 days a week at the health club business. So I probably had a little bit more of an axe to grind. I lived a little bit more of a life of quiet desperation than maybe you do. But still, 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, and you don't wake up until you're 60 years old and go, smell the paint? This is a terrible life? I don't know. I can't tell. And I don't know this gentleman. This is not a member. This is just somebody that sent me an email. He said, what would you recommend? Well, I'm going to tell you what I recommend. I recommend that you join Lifestyles Unlimited. Why? It doesn't matter how much money you have. I'll tell you what you can do with your money in a second here. But here's the problem. Whatever it is that's kept you to only saving $10,000 in 1 year, to only having $10,000 at 60 years of age, or to have more and not be willing to tell anybody. In other words, I've got hundreds of thousands, but I'm not going to tell you because you might try to steal it from me, or you might try to get me to do something I don't want to do with it. So I'm telling you I've got $10,000 just so you won't push me to go do something I don't want to do, I'm uncomfortable with. All of in any one of those arguments, whichever one it is, whether he's just never done anything till now, which means he needs to get around people that he can see a different way of life. If he's got money, he's afraid to talk about it. He needs to get in Lifestyles so we can talk about his money. Because we talk about our money. How do you think people learn? You come and speak with multimillionaires about how they started out as just regular people. Hey, I bought my first rent house when I was 30 years old, 31, 32, 35, 40, wherever they did. In this particular case for this gentleman, the $10,000, I could buy him a rent house. The rent house might make him $30,000 captured equity. That might mean he makes 300% on his money. Now, if he can save 10 grand and we can make him another $30,000 in captured equity and a couple hundred bucks a month positive cash flow, he's changed his life. If he saves up enough next year, do it again. After the second year, he can now take that first house with the $30,000 of equity plus the 10 he put in it. He'll have 40 grand of equity unless it appreciates. It might be more, but let's just say it doesn't appreciate, which is probably unlikely. But we'll use the appreciation. Maybe it's $2,000-$4,000 for the closing costs to go ahead and either refinance this property and pull money out or sell this property and pull money out. Either way, we need the money out of there because we've got to leverage it up. And so that second year, we're taking the money out of the first property to go buy two more properties. Now that second year, you also save that next $10,000. So now you have enough to buy three properties. So now you have four properties. Now, if you were making $200 to $500 a month positive cash flow, you're making between $800 and $1,000 a month. If it's four properties at $500, it'd be $2,000 and $2,000 a month positive cash flow. Now, that is a massive change in your life in just 2 to 3 years, right? Now, the next year, we're going to take that second property. We're going to do the same thing. We're going to refinance out the equity, and we're going to buy two more. But by that time, he should have been able to save another $10,000. So we'll buy three more. So now we're up to seven. And seven, we have $200 to $500 in positive cash flow. We've got anywhere from seven times two is $1,400, all the way up to seven times five, it's $3,500. $3,500 a month positive cash flow. But we now have seven houses, right? And those houses are appreciating, and those houses are paying the mortgages down. And those houses are earning us tax-free income. Our life has changed. We're a different person. We are a different person, Charlie. And it's just that easy. Yet, it's just that hard. You have to do that. The real challenge is getting you to do that. Here's another one. It says, I currently own one rental property, 988 square feet, 311 in, I'm not going to tell you where it is because I don't want to disclose who this guy is. The property is a home my wife grew up in. After her mother passed away, the stepfather had attempted to sell the property previously on a contract for deed. The buyer defaulted, and he ended up getting the property back. So let's talk about contract for deed. What is that? That's where you don't actually sell the person the property. What you do is you have a contract like a lease. It's a lease, kind of a lease purchase deal where the guy says, we say, we're selling it to you, but you don't get the deed until you pay us all the money. But we'll let you pay that money in payments, in installments. And a lot of people did this in the past. It was one because some people just couldn't get financing in the old days. So it was very easy to get somebody to want to buy your home from you if you would own or finance it for them. And that's what contract for deed basically is. But there were guys out there that created seminars about how to use the contract for deed to rip people off. And what they would do is have you have someone, you sell somebody a house with a very large down payment, $10,000, $15,000, $20,000, $30,000, and then start the installment payments. If the buyer missed an installment payment, they had breached the contract. And if you wanted to, you could foreclose on them and evict. In fact, it wasn't even foreclosing, it was just evict because they had broken the lease. And so the whole contract was based on them paying on a timely basis. Most people that can't go buy a home outright and want to get into a contract for deed are the type of people that can't make monthly payments accurately, consistently. And so they get loans. That's why, you know, they have bad credit for one reason or another. They maybe have intermittent jobs. Maybe they're just bad with their money, whatever the reason is. Maybe they're bad people. Who knows? But the bottom line is they're not highly credit qualified people. But that was part of the scam. And when I call a contract for deed a scam, it doesn't have to be a scam, but it is most times out there considered a scam because the concept is no one is going to go 30 years on these payments and never miss a payment. And so a guy could have paid into the deal $30,000 or $40,000 down and then paid $1,000, $2,000 a month payment for 10 years and then miss a payment and lose all of his money. So in the state of Texas, this became so abusive that the state changed the law and said that you couldn't just evict people on a contract for deed. If they had paid money down, if they'd made payments on a contract for deed, or if they were on a lease purchase agreement 2 years longer or longer, then they had ownership rights in the property and you could not just evict them for non-payment. You had to foreclose on them as if you were a mortgage company. Foreclosure, in Texas, the eviction court it's very expensive, $85. It's a 20-day, 28-day process to get them out. Foreclosure is about a two-month process, and you have to have an attorney and you have to go to county court. So that's going to be $5,000 or $10,000 minimum to get somebody out on something like that. So they made it to where if your tenant didn't pay you on the contract for deed, you might be willing to let him catch up, et cetera, because it became a hassle to get them out. But still, a lot of people, even to this day, would still not care, I'm afraid, for the $5,000 or $10,000 it takes to get him out, right? Then I would go ahead and get the property back and do the whole thing all over again. A lot of problems with this theory, guys. A lot of problems. A lot of people thought this was a neat way to go out there and burn people, scam people, make a lot of money. But here's the problem, or the problems with this particular type of deal. Number one, once you give the person the home and tell them they're buying it, the person believes they can do anything they want to do to the home because they believe it's their home now. And so they will destroy it. Secondly, most people that are in contract for deeds are not people that are really good at managing money and so forth. And so things that need to get done many times don't get done. So in a contract for deed, if the furnace or the air conditioning goes out, the tenant has to pay it, or the buyer has to pay it. The seller doesn't. And the problem with that is they just don't have the money. If the roof leaks, they won't fix it because they don't have the money to do it. That's why they're in a contract for deed in most cases. So it's very powerful. Second problem, if the property is destroyed and goes down in value and you get it back, you have to pay to fix it all up. So you literally could lose money in this proposition. Third problem, if the property goes up in value massively and there's a major gain to be had, you don't get the major gain. You simply get the price that you sold it to them at the beginning of the deal. So you are taking all of the downside risk and none of the upside risk, or getting none of the upside gains by being a contract for deed seller, as opposed to, one, if you leased it to them, you'd be getting rental property, you'd be getting rent. Two, you'd have control of the property. Three, they couldn't change the property. Four, your income would be tax deferred income, whereas when they pay you contract for deed payments, those payments are ordinary income. And you have to pay property, you have to pay taxes, income taxes on it, right? So there's a lot of really bad stuff that are attached to the contract for deed. So in this particular case, I'm going to read on. It goes, we re-entered the property. The previous purchaser had torn out the entire bathroom and the wall adjoining the master bedroom. When I asked them why, the occupant told me we were going to enlarge the bathroom. Enlarge the bathroom, I said. You couldn't even pay the mortgage. How could you afford to remodel? The basement was minimally finished with a commode and a lavatory, but no shower, so they rigged a temporary shower directly above the basement floor drain. There it is. That's the kind of stuff people do when they think they own their own home. There's no allotting for sophistication, no allotting for taste, no allotting for quality of life. I remember I had apartments and they didn't know what a shower was, so they poured buckets of water on themselves to take a shower and just poured water all over the house. They just got in the tub and they'd take buckets of water and spray it on them. You go, Dell, that's ridiculous. Nobody was that dumb. No. I had people that actually mopped carpet because they'd put Fabioso on the carpet and mop it because they didn't know any better. So when you deal with people at this low end like that, you need to be in control of the environment, not them. And the contract for deed is a major problem. We'll be right back because there's more interesting stuff in this email.
Teaching you with a roadmap to creating the lifestyle you really want. Keep listening. The Del Wamsley Radio Show returns in moments.
The world is full of doomsayers and naysayers. That won't move the needle of your life forward. It's time to take action and become part of something bigger. Learn a new roadmap. The Roadmap to Retirement Through Real Estate Investing. Learn from the best. Lifestyles Unlimited. And make new friends.
So actually, the lifestyle people became our closest friends, really, because they knew we weren't crazy. And now all those other people who thought we were crazy see us and they're like, what did you do again?
Leave the lack mentality and join the group with an abundance mentality. Lifestyles Unlimited.
The whole Lifestyles Unlimited team is just wonderful. And all the people in it, it's basically copying what I do so you could be successful.
Join Lifestyles Unlimited today for $297. That's 60% off the regular price of the Lifestyles Unlimited Financial Freedom Program. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Lifestyles Unlimited. Text radio to 88007.
You're hearing the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more life-changing knowledge? Access our podcast and listen on demand at lifestylesunlimited.com under the radio tab. Now your host, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Show. Back to the email here. The guy has found this thing. This is his mother died. Father-in-law tried to contract for deed this property and just got destroyed on the deal. Now he comes in and buys it. So I read on from here. This was in 2017-18. So the housing market was severely depressed. Having cleared the documents, that was the contract for deed people, I purchased the property for $20,000 as it was uninhabitable. So he bought it from his father, his stepfather. And to date, have put another $55,000 into the property, making it the best-looking house on the block. I rent it currently for $1,280 a month, which is below market, and I have a very reliable tenant who just signed another year. The property was estimated ARV of $140,000. ARV means after repaired value. In other words, that's what it's worth today, $140,000. So my equity capture was nearly double my investment. Now I have a net cash flow of $10,000 a year, it looks like. Goes on and says, all that sounds great, except I did make some mistakes along the way. Now remember, this guy's just taken our two-day class. He's now finding out all the stuff that he did wrong, that if he would have done it, this what turned out to be a decent deal would have been an incredible deal, right? So we move on, and he says, I purchased it with funds from my self-directed IRA. Why is that a bad thing to do? Because all of that $1,280 a month, he doesn't get. He gets none of it. There's no cash flow. Nothing. And all the tax benefits where that money would have been tax-free, he doesn't get any of those tax benefits either. You don't want to buy real estate into your IRA, right? He said, I purchased the property and made repairs in cash, the only option under an IRA. So there again, we would have bought the property. We would have got a hard money lender to lend us the money to buy it and to rehab it. We would have had zero out of pocket. So he didn't even need the money in his IRA. He could have done it zero out of pocket on this particular deal, right? Now, it goes on and says, unless you can find a non-recourse loan, I'm told. No, the bottom line is you can't fund stuff inside of an IRA and get paid anything. You might be able to get a hard asset loan on it, right? But you could do a non-recourse or if it was not done in the deal, you wouldn't have to put any money down anyway. So you don't even need the IRA money to do it, which is crazy. It goes on. So then I'm still excited. I got to stop here. In addition to that, I read an article yesterday that Quest IRA, the largest IRA company that we know of, just got slammed, got put down by the SEC. And Quest used to be one of my vendors. I kicked them out. It's interesting. We had three IRA vendors, and each one of them had a different way to do it. And each one of the three said that the other two were doing it illegally. Just bizarre as can be. And I finally said, look, I don't know what the law is. I'm not an attorney. I'm not a CPA. And I can't have you guys here as vendors. Well, The Quest IRA was one of them I kicked out. And they now have an article. Just look them up. Quest IRA problems, challenges. SEC has hit them with like 30 different complaints. Four or five different laws they've broken, including just fraud. So whatever it is, look it up. I don't know exactly. But the bottom line is I never really trusted those IRA administration companies anyway. Because they've got control of your money. You don't. Where this guy would have had this house in his own name, free and clear, and be able to deduct the income or depreciation and pay no income tax. Okay, moving on. He goes on and says, third, I trusted my father-in-law, only to find out that the property had extensive termite damage, and there are evidences that this was covered up and not disclosed to the previous buyer. Then there are general contractor delays. Fortunately, there was enough money. Unfortunately, there was not a hard money lender in this situation. So when you look at this deal, then another thing I want to bring up is you do business with family members, you think they wouldn't rip you off. And remember, I told you, guys that were doing contract for deeds, remember, go to the first segment here, and I told you the people that do contract for deeds ultimately, most times, are trying to rip people off, right? That's their goal. Well, here's this guy selling this thing on contract for deed, and he knows he's got termites. And he's covering it up. And so now he's got this problem, and he turns around and sells it to his stepson and doesn't tell him that there's termites. So here's this contract for deed stuff. Now, let's say we were buying it with a mortgage. Well, the mortgage company would have required there to be an inspection, right? And every property I ever buy, every property I ever tell Lifestyles members to buy, there's an inspection. We find out everything that's wrong with the property, including pest control type requirements. So again, this is a great deal that was turned bad because of lack of knowledge on how to do the deal. That's why I'm saying you got to get in here. You got to learn this stuff. And you got to do it right. And he goes on and says, from this experience, blind luck has brought me a modicum of success in real estate, but it was obvious that I needed to learn more before I invest more capital in additional properties. I would like to acquire approximately 5 more properties in this bread and butter community of ranch homes. That's why I joined Lifestyles Unlimited. All right. So there it is. That's the problems you run into when you do things the wrong way. And that's why I say you just need to get signed up. This guy is asking, okay, I'm taking my money out of my 401k or my IRA or refinancing my house, whatever it is. He's pulling out money to invest passively. His question is, while I wait to invest, where do I put that money? That money for me is in savings accounts. I have had anywhere from 25 to 50 different savings accounts open at any one time. Right now, the savings accounts are paying anywhere from high 4s to low 5% interest, as much as I think 5.5 is the highest one I've seen. They're all online. Every one of these savings accounts are online. That's the only place you get this kind of interest. All you do is Google high interest rate savings accounts, and they change all the time because banks will offer specials. So you got to stay on top of it. You have to watch the banks. And you put your money in there, and you earn the high interest. The reason I like savings accounts, not CDs, don't do CDs, don't do money market accounts. Do savings accounts, because you can take the money out without any penalty anytime you want. Make sure that the accounts that you do go into allow you to pull the money back out. Sometimes they have some weird thing like you can only pull out $10,000 a week or $10,000. Don't go into those. Look, read the materials and pick yourself a good one. You, as an individual, can have up to $250,000 in any savings account, and it be completely protected by the FDIC. If you're married, you can have up to $500,000 in any one savings account, and it's protected by the FDIC. If you have kids and you want to protect more money, you could put your kids on those accounts also. And then for each additional kid, you get another $250,000 from the FDIC. So I had a couple that had 4 kids. And, you know, that allowed them to put it, they had 4 or 5 kids, but they only used 2 of them. So this used themselves and 2 other kids. And so they had $1 million per account that was covered by the insurance. And so they've loaded up on the account. So if you're putting $1 million in there, you might only need one account. You might only need five accounts. You might only need 10 accounts. Depends on how rich you are, whatever. But whatever amount it is, you know, you can definitely find five or six or seven or eight or 10 of these things that have these very high interest rates. And that's where I'd put the money on this. All right, moving on. This next one here is interesting. The economy goes up, the economy goes down. The politicians come, the politicians go. The secret to real estate investing is to never lose money. And I've been teaching this for 35 years and I've never lost money in real estate. I have never lost money. I have had investors that won't listen to what I say that have lost money. All right? And there's a lot of people that just, you know, it's like, okay, I like your ideas, but I'm going to do it my way. There's so many people like that in this world that you say, look, there is a specific way you do something that makes you the best in the world, whether you're a race car driver or a boxer or whatever, right? And either you do it that specific way that makes you the best or you don't. Now, life has all kinds of things that come up. And, you know, watching the Olympics right now, you see that some people have tougher days and they don't have their best day on one of the events that they're in. But they, the people that are good come back and they'll win another event and or they'll get their score together. Bottom line is you can't be perfect every day, but they all follow the basics to the T. Nobody goes there and just does their own thing and wings it. Doesn't happen. Same thing investing, right? So this here's the question. I've been listening to your radio program for the last 6 months. You have real good information about real estate and life. And I have one question. What did you do during 2008 real estate crash? I know a lot of people up here in Seattle that lost houses because the market went bad and the banks wouldn't work with them. So they lost their equity in the house. So what did you do to protect yourself so that you didn't happen to you? Thank you very much. All right. First of all, we don't even know what this person is saying. Is this a man or a woman? I think it's a woman. And we don't even know what she's speaking about, but I'm going to assume that it's people that owned homes that lived there. They tried to sell them or they couldn't make the mortgage payment. And boom, they lost the house. In 2008, the market crashed. All right, there was a gigantic mortgage problem, banking problem in 2008. I quadrupled my net worth in 2008. I bought five apartment complexes that year and between that year and the year after. And I quadrupled my net worth. I mean, I'm buying them. I bought them, you know, 70 cents on the dollar, then 60 cents on the dollar, then 50 cents on the dollar, then 40 cents on the dollar. I mean, every time I bought something, I got it cheaper. It just was incredible how bad it got. And that turned around in a very short period of time. But say, well, what happened to the ones you already owned? I owned them. They were full. They were rented. The mortgage payments were realistic. And so I made money with them. I made rental income with these properties, and I wasn't in a position I had to sell them. So whether or not the values of them went down was irrelevant. In fact, my properties were still worth more than what the reduced prices were because I'd bought them in such a long ago period of time. But I made money. That's the secret, guys. If you buy right and hold on long, you're going to make money in any market. Buy when the market's down, sell when the market's high. Real simple stuff. All right, hope to see you on the road trip on Friday, members, and the rest of you out there. Remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you for listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more of Dell's unconventional wisdom? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com and click the radio tab. Listen to past shows, hear podcasts on demand, and find out how you can change your life today. The Del Walmsley Radio Show is part of the Lifestyles Unlimited Radio Network.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.